going it alone. Huawei is now making smartphones without U.S. chips.
It's one of the few phones that the company can make totally free of American technology.
And American farmers rushed to grow hemp. Now they're facing a glut.
You don't have a solid price structure like you do with other more standard crops that everybody's comfortable with, like soybean and corn.
Plus, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the most important Second Amendment case in a decade. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at how Huawei is making smartphones without American chips, here's what you missed. Saudi Arabia is pushing for an extension of OPEC's production cuts. It comes ahead of a meeting of the oil cartel in Vienna this week. This all has to do with Saudi Aramco's anticipated initial public offering. From Vienna, Benoit Facon has more.
So basically, the extension, the longer it will last, the more chances they have to support oil prices, because the problem is right now people know that production cuts will be kept for at least 3 months. If they kept for 6 months, at least should be part of a surprise and support oil prices.
Benoit says the main question for Saudi Arabia is what Russia will do.
So the issue is going to be more to convince Russia to agree for 6 months when until now they've only agreed for 3 months.
We'll have more on the outcome of the meeting, which officially starts on Thursday. Two shootings in New Orleans on Sunday left 2 people dead and 12 others injured. The New Orleans Police Department said the 2 shootings weren't related. As of this recording, they're still investigating a motive. In Mexico, a dramatic gun battle in a small town across the border from Texas left at least 20 people dead. Over the weekend, dozens of cartel gunmen fought with Mexican security forces. We report the clash is the latest incident in a surge of gun violence hitting Mexico. Last week, President Trump said the White House was looking into designating Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Mexican officials criticized the proposal as opening the door to U.S. interference in its domestic affairs. Russia and China are now partners. As of today, they have a $55 billion pipeline to prove it. The 1,800-mile pipeline began delivering Russian natural gas to China this morning. Our Moscow-based correspondent, Georgi Kanchev, explains.
Russia and China, for decades, they have been discussing various ways to link up their energy markets and infrastructures, but now, in the past decade, they've grown much closer together, and it seems both countries had complementary agendas here when it comes to energy. Part of the impetus was definitely the 2014 annexation of Crimea. Russia was looking for new partners, new geopolitical relationships, and in China, a neighboring country and kind of a major power, was a natural place to start. China, on the other hand, needs gas. Because its economy is growing very fast and its gas demand is growing even faster. So that's why this pipeline was built and it just started today.
Now, our main story this morning, Huawei. Analysts from UBS and a Japanese technology lab recently took apart the Chinese telecom giant's new flagship phone. It's called the Mate 30. Inside, they discovered something pretty interesting. The phone had no U.S. chips. Dan Strumpf is in Hong Kong. So Dan, first thing, tell me a little bit more about this new phone.
So Huawei's latest top-of-the-line flagship model, which they unveiled in September, it's one of the few phones that the company can make totally free of American technology. So Huawei's been working on building products with a sort of smaller and smaller American footprint inside for a long time. Of course, you know, ever since May, the company's been sort of legally cut off from a lot of American technology, although the company still does have access to some and it's stockpiled a lot of parts of its own. But the Mate 30, which is the newest model, is now fully free of American parts.
And what sort of American companies are we talking about here?
So some of them are names that people would know, and some of them are names that people might not know. I mean, there's a lot of big-name technology companies that were and still are major suppliers to Huawei in the U.S., companies like Intel, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Google, of course. And then there's a whole array of sort of smaller, more specialized chip companies and other hardware companies that provide a whole array of different parts. So companies like Skyworks, Qorvo, these are companies that make chips for specialized tasks and smartphones. The biggest hole in Huawei's supply chain still is the Android operating system, which the company does use on all of its smartphones. And formally, Huawei doesn't have access to the sort of proprietary Android apps that Google makes. So that's still cut off to Huawei.
So where is Huawei getting its parts from?
It's found replacements in a whole, you know, array of different locations. One thing that the company has done, of course, is using now a lot of its own parts, specifically made by a company called HiSilicon, which is a subsidiary of Huawei that primarily designs chips. Other places that Huawei has turned to are, you know, non-American sourced providers of chips. There's companies in Taiwan and mainland China, Europe, that can make some of these chips that aren't subject to U.S. export restrictions, and Japan and Korea as well. So there are substitutes for Huawei, and it's been looking to those areas to fill in the gaps.
So as you mentioned, in May, the U.S. put Huawei on an export blacklist due to concerns about national security. Now you're reporting that the Commerce Department has started to issue licenses to American companies who say they'd still like to do business with Huawei. So what does all of this mean for those companies?
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of an element of, you know, too little, too late. For at least for the American companies, I mean, some of this might have sort of happened on its own. Huawei has been spending years investing on its own chips, its own software and AI technology.
And has Huawei said anything about this?
Well, Huawei has said from the beginning that they would like to continue using American parts and technology and continue to do business with the American supply chain that they've long been buying products from. So the company has said in the past that at least last year they bought $11 billion worth of American technology. And so the company has been very upfront that they would like to continue those relationships, and the American suppliers to Huawei will, you know, at least privately say that they too would like to continue to sell to Huawei. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar company. I mean, China's preeminent technology provider and, you know, a big customer for a lot of companies in the U.S. So it's always been the preference of Huawei to keep doing business as usual with American companies.
You can find Dan's story with Asa Fitch up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to turn to an interesting market today. It's the market for U.S.-grown hemp. Farmers have been pouring money into growing it as the demand for products like CBD oil has grown. But now they're facing a glut. Cameron McWhirter explains.
Well, hemp was made legal in 2018 with the revisions in the Farm Bill, and it was made widely legal. So lots of farmers who have been struggling with different price problems regarding other more standard crops have jumped in feet first on the idea of growing hemp for the idea of CBD, which I'm sure everybody's heard of these products. They're not marijuana, but they are supposedly have benefits, health benefits. Some people question that, but they supposedly have great health benefits. So everybody smells money with growing hemp. And so that means too many people have jumped in to do it. And it's a very simple supply demand economic story here. You have tons of people jumping in, producing lots of hemp because they think there's going to be a lot of profit to be made. But that obviously drives down the price because you have too much of the stuff.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. It's Cyber Monday, and we're reporting that retailers from Target to Walmart are revamping their stores and staff to adjust to a world where more of us are shopping online. Take Target. The company told us it's retrained the bulk of its 30,000-person workforce to streamline customer service. Elsewhere, in Washington, the impeachment hearings resume after the holiday break. The White House said it wouldn't participate in a House Judiciary Committee hearing this week. White House counsel Pat Cipollone said in a lengthy letter that the president, quote, cannot fairly be expected to participate in a hearing while the witnesses are yet to be named and while it remains unclear whether the Judiciary Committee will afford the president a fair process through additional hearings. Jerry Nadler, the Democrat who leads the committee, didn't immediately offer a response to the letter. The Supreme Court will hear its most significant Second Amendment case in nearly a decade today. It has to do with a rule issued by the New York City Police Commissioner that forbade most licensed gun owners from taking their weapons to firing ranges or second homes outside city limits. New York City already repealed the rule, but the judges rejected the city's request to dismiss the suit. We report that the case will test how far the court's conservative majority is ready to move on gun rights. Finally, we've been keeping you updated on the latest with Hong Kong's protests over the past few months. Today, we have a story about an interesting place that's been impacted by the fall in tourism that's come about due to those protests. The Magic Kingdom, a.k.a. Hong Kong Disneyland. From Hong Kong, Steve Russolillo has more.
Tourist arrivals in Hong Kong are down about 50% from a year ago, and most of that is due to a lack of mainland Chinese people coming to Hong Kong and visiting Hong Kong. So, with that backdrop in place, we went over to Disneyland and checked out what was happening over there. We were shocked at how dead it was. There were no lines at all. And we talked to a lot of the people that were there. They kind of felt a little bit weird being at Disney. I mean, you have this dynamic hanging over the city where there's thousands and thousands of people that are on the streets all the time, fighting for democracy and standing up to the government. And yet, here are some of these people that were at the park that were going on Space Mountain and some of the other rides. And it had this kind of weird environment that was overhanging the park.
A Disney spokeswoman didn't dispute that the number of visitors had dropped, but wouldn't give specific figures. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.